It depends. Maar is dat wel zo?
Ik ben Dennis Akkerman.
En ik ben Martijn Hoving.
In de SEOcast interviewen we maandelijks een specialist uit de SEO-wereld.
Aan de hand van bekende thema's en ontwikkelingen binnen SEO vragen we de specialist om zijn of haar kennis met de wereld te delen.
Veel luisterplezier.
It is time to introduce our second international SEO guest today, whose SEO journey began at the other end of the world, from our perspective, in Singapore, where he started working for several agencies. 4 years ago, he switched to client-side SEO, working for the worldwide leading blockchain and cryptocurrency platform. We are really curious how organic growth works at Binance. Welcome, Dinesh Sivapraksan.
Hey, guys. Hi, Martin. Hi, Dennis. Yeah, it's been a real good pleasure to join you guys. Yeah, so look forward to our fruitful session.
Yeah, thank you for being in our podcast. Yeah, I always start with, why did you get interested in the world of SEO?
It was quite an accident. I was a copywriter when I first started off right out of college. And one of my clients at that time had asked me, hey, we're curious about this SEO thing, quote unquote. Can you try to do it for our email mailers? And I was like, oh, okay, sure, why not? I had no idea about SEO then. So I just started and then I realized the potential of it. Basically I just started with an agency job where, you know, as an intern, learning all the ropes of technical SEO. That was my start proper. And then I used my content abilities, to go on to the next level. And then I joined an international agency to cover regional and global SEO to learn more about how, you know, companies integrate SEO into their workflows and marketing. So that's basically how I get started. What keeps me interested in SEO is because every day is a new challenge. Every day something new happens, something Google changed, some other search engine changed something, and I have to investigate and find out what we can do about it. So it keeps things interesting. No 2 days are alike. That keeps me interested in this industry.
It's always changing, and I think over the years it's only going faster and faster. Yeah, what made you interested? So how did those first steps in the SEO world look like? So you said you start with technical SEOs. What kinds of things did you do for your first steps?
If I'm being honest, like I started off very much being mentored by a black hat SEO at that time on my first job. Yeah, so she was actually very much into reputation management. So what she would do was like we had several clients who had some reputational damage on an organizational level in Singapore, but they were a very big company, you know, transportation company. So they had a lot of like train disruptions, etc. So they were getting a lot of flack from the public. So her job was just to, you know, manage the Google search profile for that client. So we did a lot of, things like PBN, article spinning, very interesting stuff, right? I'll be writing articles about the CEO doing charity work, stuff like that. So it was very interesting for me because I got to exercise my creativity, you know, which was why I started off in copywriting in the first place. So I think that strength was helpful for me to get my foot in. But then, you know, I realized the world of, HTML, JavaScript, you know, how do we manipulate those things in order to get better rankings, schema markup manipulation. So a lot of the stuff that I learned was relatively on the black hat side, which was good because, you know, I think in retrospect, when I think about it, if I had started with theoretical knowledge of everything white hat, I wouldn't know how, you know, my competition actually wins, right? So I think it started off my mentality as when everybody is zigging, you start zagging, and that's how you win in SEO. So I think that's kind of like the motto. And actually my mentor was the first person to mention that to me. And I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we're not aware that most people start with like their own blog or web shop, and that they learn the skills, and from there they keep evolving.
Nice, interesting story.
You went to a big international agency. Can you tell a bit more about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I got my start with PhD. as the first international agency, and my remit was only with Unilever. So as you know, Unilever is kind of like an FMCG brand. They cut across from shampoo bottles to detergent to Ben & Jerry's ice cream at that time, right? So it gave me a lot of breadth of knowledge on how SEO can be applied for different brands and how, you know, to navigate organizational challenges, especially as a company as big as Unilever, which is global, right? So I think there were, you know, a bunch of challenges that I was learning to sort of like navigate. One is within the agency itself, because we were just the Singapore outpost, right? The headquarters was in the UK. So there are a lot of things that we wanted to do for the client, but then, you know, the international strategy was not in the scope, for example. So, you know, I learned what are the limits, you know, when it comes to being an account manager for a client for SEO versus, you know, being an in-house SEO where I can literally just go to the internal stakeholder, talk to them and say, you know, let's do this. So I think that was like my first experience, you know, real world experience on how to deal with organization and where to find out where SEO fits in that. And then the second job I took was with Dentsu. So Dentsu is this Japanese mega house for advertising. Over there, I was looking after Panasonic, Intel, PayPal, Accor Hotels. So very diverse clients. And basically, again, you know, I was going very in-depth, but also learning how to navigate introducing workflows so the SEO fits in. So for example, when I was working with Intel and Panasonic, they are like, you know, been in the game for a long time. Oh, actually, one more, Volkswagen. They were all like in the game for a long time, right? They know SEO, they know how it works, but they were facing challenges like newer brands coming out, right? So for example, Panasonic in their consumer electronics section, they had Dyson competing with them for hair dryers, which was Panasonic's, you know, big selling unit at that time. So they were not quite sure how to use SEO anymore because they didn't have the brand advantage anymore. So, you know, learning about how, you know, to strategize to improve visibility for non-brand searches was something that I learned in my second job, right? So, yeah, so basically all of this was just sort of like culminating. And then it was also my first foray into leading a team, right? Because I had so many clients to deal with. It wasn't always easy for me to manage like, you know, meta title descriptions, optimizations, for example, at scale for, you know, thousands of pages. So I had to have a team, right? I had to have vendors. So there were a lot of things that I was like, kind of like learning. So I think it was just, it's very good to be in this position right now because you really see every single, you know, strategic move that I made in my career actually helped me to get to where I am today. And I think it's also being mindful about that, right? Like what exactly do you lack in your career or rather your capabilities, and then trying to find experiences that will be able to help you with that. And this is something that I inspire my team to do so as well. Like I have a mix of junior and senior staff on my team in Binance right now. So this is one of the things that I tell them. Sometimes I do sound a bit like an old fart, you know, talking about it this way. But, you know, these are important to be very strategic in your career, to get the right experiences so that you become an all-rounded SEO, not just someone who is technically sound, but also someone who understands the business side of things and how SEO fits into that.
Nice, great brands to work for, I think. So we often get back also in this podcast from SEO specialists that it's quite difficult to work for like these big corporates to really get things done. But do you have tips on that field?
Yes, exercise patience, learn how to be tactful. But also, I mean, I think there are so many strategies, right? I think understanding your personality and using it to your advantage is very important in your SEO career. So you're going to meet different personalities, you know, throughout your career. Some will be nice. Some would understand what SEO is and try to work with you and collaborate with you. Some need a bit more help, right? They need a bit more persuasion. So I think being mindful of, you know, your personality and how it fits in with the rest of the organization. How do you talk to different people differently? You know, just like how we do marketing, for example, we talk to different audiences differently. So for example, if I'm going to talk to somebody who is technically adept, about technical SEO. I can go into the details, I can talk about jargons and not worry about them understanding what I'm talking about, right? Whereas if I'm going to talk to someone who is a senior leader, right, who is cutting across various things on marketing or various things in the business, they're not going to understand what a canonical tag is, and they're not going to bother to understand either. They shouldn't. So how do you reword it in layman terms, to explain something to them, and how it impacts them is how you get your foot in. So always try to get your foot in, gain credibility with the person that you're speaking with, understand what their priorities are, understand what their KPIs are, and speak to those things and show them, instead of telling them, how them making this change that you're asking, this implementation that you're asking for, is going to affect their KPI, their bottom line, what they care about. So I think that's the easiest way to think about this thing. Because oftentimes I think as SEOs, we get distracted with, it's no fault of ours. We have 100 things to worry about, maybe even 1,000 things to worry about. So sometimes we get into this channel vision of just, okay, I just need to get this implemented. I don't care about everything else. So I think you need to adapt a little bit, to your audience on that front. Also, learning to say, it's okay if I don't implement one or two things for a larger goal is also very important, right? Sometimes, for example, when we started with Cedars, our budgets were very small, right? Because the company didn't understand what link building was and what the ROI is. And basically I went to the CMO and I said, look, link building is important. We need to do it. And give us some time, right? Give us some time to prove ourselves. Give us a seed money to get this process started. Our team cannot handle it. So we need to outsource this, right? So understood. They give us seed money. We show them the effectiveness of it. And then the next quarter, we ask for even more money, right? So that's how you scale. So I think it's always that foot in through the door that is important in order to navigate and actually adapt and survive in big organizations. Yeah.
So it's about understanding business models then?
Very much so. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which client did you learn the most from in the past?
Actually, all my clients in my entire career were very, very nice, like to let me in on a lot of their business. Like Unilever, I was sitting down with the client picking out shampoo bottle designs, right? You really understand the business when you do such things, right? Because you're like, why is this so important? You don't think about these things, right? At Panasonic, we go down to the factory, the client would send us for factory visits. And you're like, at that stage in your life, you're like, in your career, you're like, why am I doing this again? But then, when you really become mindful about why you're doing it and try to make the best out of those kind of situations, you tend to learn something, and then those things kind of become helpful later on, when you least expect it.
And at a certain point, you made a switch to client side, Bidens?
Yeah, I think it was because I realized that I was getting a lot of knowledge, but then if I'm being honest, I was like, I'm not getting paid for my value. I have all this wealth of knowledge and I'm just not getting, I'm not seeing it in my bank, reflected in my bank account. So I'm like, okay, I need to apply this knowledge better to make a better living, right? Like, yeah. So yeah, that was when Binance came about and I was like, oh, this is interesting. I mean, like, before I joined Binance, if somebody would have asked me, would you ever work for a finance company? I would have said, hell no. I've always been interested in like creative companies or like companies that like are very innovative. And so when Binance came to me and told me about this position, I was like, that's such an interesting challenge. It's an industry that nobody's heard of. And I like that, right? And they were at the cutting edge of innovation. They still are. And I was like, oh, I want in, right? And my first day in Binance was my first day in crypto. I had zero understanding about it. I can say that I still don't have understanding of everything that happens in crypto, but every day is interesting, right? So it made my life a lot more interesting. And I had this hunch about it when they were talking to me. My interview process happened in like 2 days, right? That's the pace in which Binance works. I had 5 or 6 interviews in a span of 2 days over a weekend, and they gave me an offer right away. So I think that kind of impressed me because I knew like, okay, I know that if I'm going to go to them with like you know, recommendations, they're going to implement them. So it was like a no-brainer for me. Yeah.
And was it an advantage to know nothing about crypto?
I think, you know, at that point of time, I didn't know what I didn't know. So I think that was what like interested me a lot. I don't know if you guys watched this interview by Jerry Seinfeld recently. I can't remember the name of it, but I can give it to you later. But Jerry Seinfeld says this one thing. I don't like to live a comfortable life. I like to be in difficult situations, and that's how I grow. I think I'm similar in that sense. I like to put myself in difficult situations because I think that's what makes my life interesting. So I feel, you know, at that time, Binance was giving me that difficult ingredient. So I was like, yeah, let's do that.
Magic happens outside the comfort zone.
Exactly. Exactly. There's another way to say it. Yes, for sure.
Can you say something about what Binance is?
It's the largest crypto exchange. So, I mean, I like to say this, like we are kind of like the stock exchange for all crypto that exists.
And from an SEO perspective, what's important for the growth of Binance?
First mover advantage. I think that's very important. We don't always focus on keywords. We focus on, you know, what's relevant to our users, right? So I think, you know, going back to that conversation that we had earlier about understanding the business, I think Binance is very user first, right? So, you know, everybody in the company is very sharp about understanding what users or customers are saying about us and our products. And we use that, you know, to improve on it. And similarly for SEO, we are always asking for feedback from users, you know, through our product team. If anything, our SEO team actually kind of functions not like a full-fledged product team, but like a semi-product team in the sense that we own certain page groups, programmatic SEO, and we are in charge of the iterations of those pages. So depending on how the competition is moving, you know, how difficult it is for us to rank for certain keyword groups, we are always strategizing. And every year, we actually give like a pipeline to our developers. These are all the things that we want to do for SEO for the whole year and maybe even the following year so that they would have the right resources allocated to us. So our technical SEO lead, Mike, he kind of takes care of all of that, right? To like raise Jira tickets a year in advance for what we're going to do. So basically, it's like a machine that runs by itself. One ticket's done, the next ticket's going out. So we're always shipping changes to our SEO pages and also, you know, the rest of the website, automating sitemaps, hreflang, schema markup. And we also educate a lot of our product teams. We educate our local team members. We have this program called SEO Champs. So we get other marketing people in the company to join our weekly reporting call, informally training them and getting them interested in SEO. So sometimes our ideas actually don't come from within the team. They come from outside of our team because they are interested. And again, this is about tying back to the KPIs, right? So why do we get other marketing people to join our calls? For example, they do local marketing. One of the KPIs is doing well locally, you know, for SEO, right? In Google search, in Brazil, whatever, right? So when that manager comes to our call, his wheels are turning, right? He's like, oh, what can I do for Brazil, you know, for SEO? And they will come with a set of ideas like, I think we want to change this. I think this would make sense for our users, right? You know, to give you an example, our price pages, we previously did it at a global level, right? So we only had internal links to, you know, our top markets, but we forgot, or rather we excluded all our other markets, but then actually it was pumping in those markets and actually having the internal link would have done that market a lot of help. And it was the local manager who raised it, not my team. So I think it's nurturing other people to be interested in SEO is also, you know, quite an important part of my job or my team's job and function. Evangelism is very important, you know, to have like extra amplifiers around the company of spreading the word of how effective, you know, your work is. So you don't have to say anything, you know, you don't have to do anything. You know, the credibility lends itself.
Okay. And for instance, if you enter a new market, do you have a process for that?
Yeah. So we have a very, you know, fixed workflow when it comes to that. So, you know, we brief our main developers who take care of language. We also brief our localization team about specific translations. So everything is sort of like clockwork. So it's really like a starter pack. So if let's say, because Binance is very much a global company with a very local heartbeat, right? So our local presence is what drives Binance to be a global leader. That means that everything has to be as localized as possible. This means sometimes page templates will be a bit different. You know, certain strategies will be a bit different compared to the global one. So it's almost like we start off with a cookie and then we add icing to it based on, you know, what's required for the local market. And this trickles down to link building as well. We're very specific. For example, when we work with Cedars, we're very specific, you know, for this market, we're going to work with these, you know, anchor tags. We're going to work with this, you know, target pages, because these are the ones that matter for the market.
You're responsible, of course, for so many countries and regions. How do you manage that?
So we are responsible for over 40 languages.
That's who it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, at first we were all overwhelmed. Like, my team is not that big. So we're like, how are we going to manage this? It was crazy at first. That's where we came up with this idea of the champs, right? The local market champs. Actually, funny thing enough, one of these local champs was Kate. So Kate was working, she's right now my local SEO manager. She was actually working for France as a local manager. And we onboarded her on this training program. And we realized that she had this aptitude for SEO. And I just floated the idea to my boss. I was like, why don't we just hire Kate, you know, into our team? Because we really need this person to manage all these local SEO tasks. And that's how, you know, this whole thing started. And then now we're training even more, you know, marketing managers who have some aptitude towards understanding SEO, like basic concepts. And it's very easy to tell, right? When the attitude is right, when they have this curiosity to learn, to investigate, those are the raw ingredients. And if you can use that, you know, to make them better, then, you know, it's always good. So yeah, we have these evangelists, we have these champs to basically help us do the execution while we work, we take care of more of the strategy, you know, to scale.
And do you, with the strategy, only focus on Google, or do also focus on other channels?
No, not just on Google. So we always have an eye on other channels as well. So for myself, I kind of have expanded out of from only SEO for search engines to SEO for, you know, social media, SEO for Wikipedia, you know, etc. Because those things are, you know, ranking signals. They do make a difference. And ever since Google released that statement that, you know, clickstream or other users' clicks do make a difference to rankings, we paid attention. So we do have strategies for TikTok, for Reddit, for Wikipedia, as and where we see fit, where it's possible for us to drive the right type of referral links, for example, etc. So, yeah.
Can you also tell a bit more about your strategy for the next years?
I, you know, can't really share like specifically what we're going to do, but I can tell you.
I understand.
Yeah, but I can tell you like the thinking behind how we lay out our strategy. So I think, you know, innovating, or rather trying to find areas that are specifically like, you know, towards our advantage, right? So for example, Binance has all this data. What do we do with those? Can we, you know, create a new page group to serve a certain search intent? Can we innovate the templates of certain pages, you know, to improve stickiness, right, onto the page? Can we increase the awareness of certain page groups? These are kind of some of the stuff that we are thinking about. Is there ways to, you know, audit away certain pages that are no longer needed so that we can, you know, save, you know, resources for Google? So these are some of the stuff that we're thinking about. I think these are all kind of conventional knowledge anyway. It's just putting them together, having the right weightage, you know, managing our resources is what my job is, right? So that we hit what we need to hit for the business at the right time. Yeah.
Nice. And I think you also mentioned programmatic SEO, that you are using that. Can you also tell a bit more about that?
Yeah, it was not an original idea. I cannot take credit for programmatic SEO. But basically, at that time, you know, when I first started in Binance, there was no content support for us. We had a content team, but they were working on, you know, brand specific messages. They didn't have time to do SEO content. So I was like, I have to target 100,000 keywords. How am I going to create content for all this? And then the company wasn't prepared to pay for freelancers or get additional content writers on the team. So I had to come up with like a solution. And that's when I was like exploring, I can't remember now, but like one of the famous SEOs, and there was this mention of programmatic SEO. And I was like, oh, it's basically just a template for pages that can be replicated over and over again. And then I realized there was a pattern in all our keyword groups. So I was like, actually, I can do a very simple template for how to buy a specific token, which is our most transactional keyword. And that was how it was born. And then we realized, you know, searches were trending for price pages. So we created the price pages. Then we realized predictions were trending. Then we created the prediction pages. So that's how we kind of like address trends and also scale our efforts so that we're not writing individual pieces of article. I think this will segue into how we use AI for content as well. So that was also another thing. So the way I think about it, I know Dennis, this is not yet a question, but I think I can go into it already. We use AI exactly the same way. So programmatic SEO is a tool in our eyes. It's a tool for us to create content at scale. And likewise, AI is also a tool for us to create content at scale. I will be the first to admit that I'm not as aggressive with AI because I don't trust it completely yet. So we use it more of like, you know, for content outlines, for briefings, for grammar checking, right? Those are some of the use cases that we use that tool for. But we don't create automatic content with AI. Maybe we'll do it as much as like summaries for content that we've already written, but that's the extent to which it goes. Yeah.
So the human factor is in this is large then within the
group. Yeah, the human factor is very important. I think that gumption or that hunch proved itself to be true because when the August core update happened, Binance was hit to some extent, as did every other industry. But when we looked at it from our competitors' perspective, we weren't hit as hard as the others were who are relying on AI content. Yeah, so again, you know, it goes back to what I said earlier, when everybody is zigging, you have to zag. So I think when I say the human touch is important for using AI as a tool, that is our zagging principle.
I think core updates are interesting as well. Can you elaborate on how you evaluate your own platform when it comes to Google updates?
Yeah, so I'm a proponent of being not reactive. The training or the conditioning for most SEOs is, oh, core update, oh shit, traffic's going to drop, blah, 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 blah. We tend not to be, my entire team, like I tell them, throw that anxiety out the window. Yes, we would be anxious about finding out how it affects us, but it's coming from a place on how can we proactively do something to fix it or even before it becomes a problem. So I think that's what we tend to focus on when it comes to, you know, core updates that we get wind of straight away. You know, literally today I was texting Dennis about the core update that just happened in November, yeah. Right? Around the update to the site reputation abuse. So we are proactively always looking into how this can potentially affect us, rate it on a risk level, right? Like, so how risky is this going to be if we didn't do anything? If we did something, what are the possible scenarios? And the other thing that I do, again, going back to managing up, right, organizationally, I do proactively give heads ups to, you know, our leads. It doesn't matter if they care or don't care about SEO. They should be aware that something like this exists. So we do...
It's expectation management.
Exactly. So, you know, when traffic tanks, it doesn't become such a big issue because they know there is probably a root cause. So we don't necessarily tell them, this is definitely going to tank the traffic. But we're going to say, hey, we're expecting or forecasting this to happen. These are the things that we are proactively doing in order for it not to be a problem. So give them the assurance that this is taken care of for you. Yeah, I mean, that I think serves a very good purpose, because then you've already earned the trust, right? There's this trust in place where they know that you, there is somebody who's looking after this and they don't have to worry about it. And so you go to them for something else, you already got that credibility and they are going to do what you need them to do for you.
But this does still work when the traffic is dropping, like after the August core update?
Yeah, so for the August core update, for example, we know we're going to get hit for sure. So because we already started seeing our competitors getting hit. So we went up there and we said, okay, look, we need to do something about this. These are all the plans that we have in place. We need to scale up this. We need to do better in this, blah, blah, blah. We need extra budgets for this. We're going to do all this by, October latest, right? And then come October, bam, we've done everything that we said that we're going to do. Our traffic started recovering. So there was no pressure in that sense. The pressure of a core update doesn't affect us anymore because we are not reacting. We're just being proactive to, avoid any kind of such situations.
And how does that proactiveness work? Do you want to be the best in class when it comes to ease, best with competitors?
It comes back down to what works for your business and what doesn't. So for Binance as a business, for example, not every principle for EE80 is going to work, right? And there are some things that are way above our control, right? So for example, when it comes to trust, right? Binance as a company, it's common knowledge that, we have some, areas to improve in terms of trust. And that is a company level effort. It cannot just come from the SEO team. So of course, we will evangelize to tell them these are the specific things that we need to fix. So for example, we work very closely with the PR and the comms team, and we tell them, hey, this is what I'm picking up, on the search, front. This seems to be the sentiment. I think we need more content around these areas to address these trust issues. We need these areas to address this authority issue. So for example, the profile of, certain leaders, we need to improve them, so that, when they are talking about Binance, it comes across as, okay, this is coming from the CEO, this is coming from the CMO. So it's more trustworthy versus, some user, talking about it, right? Not saying that what the user is saying is not important, but it's more of like, okay, from an authority perspective, this is going to be more credible. So I think these are some of the ways that we kind of think about stuff. We don't apply everything. We don't apply every housekeeping, thing for SEO. So if you're going to look into our 404 pages, you're gonna realize, hey, Binance has a lot of 404 pages, but that's okay, right? So one of the things that we do share is there's a certain threshold for a website that has 35 million pages, you're going to have a bunch of 404 errors. It's unavoidable for you to have it. So I think as long as the threshold doesn't go above like a certain level, we're like, okay, this is a healthy line. So I think the other thing I do as a head of SEO and also like for the rest of what I tell the rest of my team who are in charge of responsible for certain things, always have like a tolerance for certain things. Not everything is going to be perfect, right? But just know where your line is when something is becoming a problem and be proactive about fixing it. And then otherwise, everything else works out, in the grand scheme of things, you cannot be perfect on everything.
You are active in lots of different markets. We see AI overviews rolling out. How do you look to the future of SEO and Google?
I don't think anybody has the answer for that, right? No. So I think we put experiments at the forefront of this. One of the things that I love telling my team is be curious, try everything. Try, fail and move on. So fail fast and move on. So we run a lot of experiments. At any given time, we have at least 2 to 3 experiments that are running. Be it, we're testing Reddit strategy, we're testing TikTok strategy, whatever, right? ChatGPT, everything that's kind of coming up as a buzzword, we'll look into it and we see what we can do about it. It does become overwhelming at some point. So again, it goes back to having certain thresholds like, okay, this is the objective for this experiment. If we if it's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, if it doesn't work out as we initially planned, we'll just move on to the next thing, right? So I think once we have these experiments and we have the results, we'll be able to piece it all together to see how it can go back to helping the business. So if you're asking me for how I plan out my strategy, is I will align it as closely as possible to what the business wants to do, and then hit it accordingly. And I think that also goes back to creating a world-class team, right? Because you need resources to be able to do all of these things. So I think, you know, along with the strategy, you also need to plan for what kind of resources you need and basically ask for those things early, right? So that you get them, right? So for example, reserving a development resource, reserving a creative resource, all these things are very important. The earlier you get there, the faster you're going to get all these things. And so as your team always does the planning very, very early, so that, you know, by the time it's time to ask for those things, we just take it out of our bags and be like, this is all we need, you know?
Yeah.
So
nice. Okay. Last question from my side.
We always ask the people that are guests in this podcast, what their biggest SEO fuck up
is. Yes. So, if they, set a new website live on no index or things like that. So do you have a big fuck up?
So when I was working in one of the agencies, I was working for this client who was going into e-commerce. And Python was very new at that time. Nobody understood it, especially SEOs. We didn't understand it. So we were being all very scrappy. I had a bunch of SEO friends who I would talk to them about Python and geek out. And my client came to me with a very unique challenge. And I was like, what? It's not my job, but okay, I'll do it. Is to scrape the price data of all their competitors' products so that they can create a pricing model. And I was like, this is not SEO, but okay, I'll do it because it's interesting. Yeah. So we did, we used, I can't remember, it was one of those crawling tools to scrape the website, and we broke the website. It was one of the largest e-commerce websites in Asia at that time, and we broke it because we had too many requests.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's funny because then we were just like, okay, nothing happened. Thankfully, we were like on VPNs and everything, so they couldn't trace us. And maybe, you know, it was not a thing. It was definitely against the site policy, but yeah. But then they managed to fix it. And then we figured out, oh, actually, we should buffer this, right? So then we implemented like a delay in the crawling, and then it was fine. But yeah, breaking that, I was very scared. I was very scared. I thought I was going to get fired. I thought the police were going to come and knock on my door. Yeah, but that was funny.
Yeah, good one. Okay, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Dinesh, thanks a lot for being our guest. I think really interesting story.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks
for giving me the opportunity.